मलम् रजस्तमोभ्यामाक्षिप्तम् विमूढं मन आत्मनः यच्छेद्धारणया धीरो हन्ति या तत्कृतं मलम् रजस्तमोभ्यामाक्षिप्तम् विमूढं मन आत्मनः यचेद्धारणया धीरो हन्ति या तत्कृतं मलम् रजस्तमोभ्यामाक्षिप्तम् विमूढं मन आत्मनः यचेद्धारणया धीरो हन्ति या तत्कृतं मलम् word to word meaning rajah the passionate mode of nature, tamobhyam, as well as by the ignorant mode of material nature, akshiptam, agitated, vimudham, bewildered, manah, the mind, atmanah, of one's own, yachet, get it rectified, dharanaya, by conception of Vishnu, Vishnu, dhiraha, the pacified, hanti, destroys, ya, all those, tatkritam, done by them, malam, dirty things. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, one's mind is always agitated by the passionate mode of material nature and bewildered by the ignorant mode of nature. But one can rectify such conceptions by the relation of Vishnu and thus become pacified by cleansing the dirty things created by them. Purport. Sorry. Persons generally conducted by the modes of passion and ignorance cannot be bona fide candidates for being situated in transcendental stage of God realization. Only persons conducted by the mode of goodness can have the knowledge of supreme truth. Effects of the modes of passion and ignorance are manifested by too much hankering after wealth and woman. And those who are too much after wealth and woman can rectify their leanings only by constant remembrance of Vishnu in his potential impersonal feature. Generally, the impersonalist or monist are influenced by modes of passion and ignorance. Such impersonalists think of themselves as liberated souls, but they have no knowledge of the transcendental personal feature of the Absolute Truth. Actually, they are impure in heart on account of being devoid of knowledge of the personal feature of the Lord, of the Absolute. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, after many hundreds of births, the impersonal philosopher surrenders unto the personality of Godhead. To acquire such a qualification of God realization in the personal feature, the neophyte impersonalist is given a chance to realize the relation of the Lord in everything by the philosophy of pantheism. Pantheism in its higher status does not permit the student to form an impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth, but it extends the conception of Absolute Truth into the field of so-called material energy. Everything created by the material energy can be dotted with the Absolute by an attitude of service, which is the essential part of living energy. The pure devotee of the Lord knows the art of converting everything into its spiritual existence by this service attitude. And only in that devotional way, and only in that devotional way can the theory of pantheism be perfected. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Rajastamobhyam Akshiptam Vimudham Manatmanaha Yache dharanayadhiro hantiya tatkritam malam. One's mind is always agitated by the passionate mode of material nature and bewildered by the ignorant mode of nature. But one can rectify such conceptions by relation of Vishnu and thus become pacified by cleansing the dirty things created by them. Hare Krishna. So welcome all the devotees and guest for today's morning Bhagavatam class. We are reading our Bhagavatam study here from Canto 2, Chapter number 1, Text number 20. The first step in God realization. This is the chapter entitled here. So, here we see the translation mentions that the impurities of the mind becomes impure because of mode of passion and mode of ignorance. So Prabhupada mentions in translation here, the mind is agitated by passion and bewildered by ignorance. And to rectify it, one has to connect to Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu. And what will happen when we connect to Lord Vishnu? Then dirty things will be cleansed and the mind will be pacified. So the classical verse for controlling and subduing the agitated and bewildered mind. So as long as a living entity is continuously focusing or rather involved in passion and ignorance, the mind will never be controlled. For mind to be controlled, the only way is to take shelter of Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. Prabhupada says in purport, persons generally conducted by modes of passion and ignorance cannot be bona fide candidate for being in transcendental stage of God realization. That means, unless and until we rise above passion and ignorance and come to the platform of goodness, there is no chance of connecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead or being a bona fide candidate for connecting with Krishna. So this is a beautiful way of how Srila Prabhupada is explaining the purport. Srila Prabhupada makes a very beautiful point about pantheism in his purport. So basically, like here it is, Prabhupada says here, that pantheism, the neophyte impersonalist is given a chance to realize the relation of Lord in everything by the philosophy of pantheism. Basically, pantheism means that God exists in the nature, or God is everything and everything is God. This is the basic understanding of what pantheists follow. Many religions within Hinduism, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, they also have this connection of pantheism. However, Srila Prabhupada says real pantheism in higher sense, Prabhupada says pantheism in its higher status does not permit the student to form an impersonal conception of absolute truth, but it extends the conception in the field of so-called material energy. And the classical Srila Prabhupada says a pure devotee of the Lord knows the art of converting everything into spiritual by his service, and in that way devotional service can be theory of pantheism be perfected. So pure devotee actually follows pantheism in perfection, Prabhupada mentions. Now someone might say, what is this pantheism and impersonalist? So Prabhupada says that yes, those who are too much after wealth and woman can rectify their leanings only by constant remembrance of Vishnu in his potential impersonal feature. So when I was reading this purport, I was thinking that am I reading Bhagavatam here? Because Bhagavatam is Amala Puran. It speaks about pure devotional service. And a series of verses which we are now dealing with here in this chapter does not look like speaking about pure devotional service, especially now the pantheism has come into picture, impersonalism, passion, ignorance and all that things. So if you see a background of what actually is happening here is, now Shukdev Goswami has begun answering the questions of Parikshit Maharaj. So canto number 2 is all about the question, is answering of Shukdev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. And the question of Parikshit Maharaj has been prominently, what is the duty of a dying man? And in explaining to Parikshit Maharaj, Sukhdev Goswami is considering the audience which is sitting in the sabha, in the place where the Bhagavatam is spoken. And understanding the audience are a mixed crowd of jnanis, ashtanga yogis, and also Mahabhagavats. Vyasadeva is all sitting there, Narad Muni is all sitting there. Parikshit Maharaj or another Mahabhagavat, he is asking question. So to also keep everyone interested, because this Bhagavatam class is not going to be for 1 hour. This Bhagavatam class is going to be for 7 days and 7 nights, no break. So definitely no speaker wants people to get up and keep going in between. That's a very discouraging thing. So he is presenting, the beginning of his presentation is such that all the audience can cater, understand. And finally he will move into the pure devotional aspect of this explanation. So Sukhdev Goswami understands that in the audience there are mixed kind of people, Ashtanga yogis especially, who would like to hear about Ashtanga yoga, explanation of the art of dying. So Sukhdev Goswami begins that. Doesn't mean that Sukhdev Goswami supports it. Just like, for example, in the Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter, Arjuna is asking Krishna a question. O mighty armed Krishna, I wish to understand the purpose of renunciation tyaga and the renounce order of life sannyasa. So Arjuna wants to know about what is tyaga and sannyasa. Amazingly, Krishna, he says, to give up results of all activities is called tyaga by the wise. And the state is called renounce order sannyas by the great learned men. So Arjuna is asking, what is sannyas and tyaga? And Krishna saying that what learned men or wise people are saying about tyaga and renunciation. He continues. Some learned man in third verse says, declare that all kinds of fruitive activities should be given up. But there are others who maintain that acts of charity, sacrifice and penance should never be abandoned. And then, in the fourth verse, Krishna says, O best of Bharatas, now hear from me about renunciation. There are three kinds of renunciation declared in scriptures. So before Krishna presents his points to Arjuna about the answer, first Krishna presents what the wise, the learned man, the other sages speak. So the classical way of presenting an answer, Sukhdev Goswami is following exactly in footsteps of Krishna. Before he begins the answering questions of Parikshit Maharaj about a dying man, in pure devotional service, he begins the answer in a way by which will appeal to many people who are in the audience, mixed crowd. But the personal opinion of Sukhdev Goswami on this question will come in the second chapter, 33rd verse. Till that time, Sukhdev Goswami is building up to reach the point of pure devotional service. So this is the way how a great devotee, a preacher, wants everyone to be involved in understanding the pure absolute truth. Now, the verse which we are dealing today is 20th verse. It speaks about the dharana concept of the Ashtanga Yoga. Ashtanga Yoga is Ashtanga, eight limbs. And right from 16th verse onwards, Sukhdev Goswami is speaking about the Ashtanga Yoga of liberating or quitting the body. So Yam and Niyam has already passed by. In the past, many devotees have spoken on this. The 19th verse was Dhyana and Samadhi. 20 and 21, tomorrow's verse is on Dharana aspect. So from this canto, we can see that Sukhdev Goswami has begun the answering of Parikshit Maharaj's question. Now one thing which is very important, which comes out very strongly in the first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, is the process of hearing. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is questions and answers between Suta Goswami and Shaunakadi Rishi. Shaunakadi Rishi is asking questions and Suta Goswami is answering. And the prominent questions among those questions, the principle or the main understanding which they want is, how come Sukhdev Goswami, Shaunakadi Rishi is asking, how come Sukhdev Goswami, who is a renounced person, nothing to do with this world, who can go by Krishna's will traveling, doesn't stay in one place, stays only till the cow is milked, as less as the milking of a cow, as less time as that. How come Sukhdev Goswami sat for 7 days and seven nights in one place and gave Bhagavatam? And Parikshit Maharaj, such a big administrator, such a busy king, suddenly leaves everything and sits for 7 days and seven nights to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the primary question which is coming out from Shaunakadi Rishi, because they know that Suta Goswami has come from the very place. Suta Goswami has been sitting in the place where Sukhdev Goswami spoke Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. Suta Goswami was in the audience. So he walks away after the class and then he is now in Naimisharanya. So first question is, two great person no connection with each other previously, both of them are busy in their own things, sat down, one is speaking, other is hearing. What is the purpose? What is the reason? What is the background? And the whole first canto goes in answering the concept of how they have come together. And in building the concept, when Shaunakadi Rishis are asking this question to Suta Goswami, Suta Goswami glorifies such questioning, because such questions attract the attention of Lord Narayan and engage us in devotional service. So this is how Suta Goswami is narrating the whole first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, initially speaking about building up from Vyasa's Bhagavatam, writing Bhagavatam to the time of Shukdev Goswami's birth, and Shukdev Goswami is walking away. So around four chapters are dealing with Shukdev Goswami, building up from Vyasadeva Srimad Bhagavatam. And the 11 chapters are dealing with Parikshit Maharaj, building up from Ashwatthama. He is releasing a Brahmastra, he is captured, and going on till Pandavas retiring timely, and then finally Parikshit Maharaj's birth, and then he becomes the king and punishes the age of Kali and gets accursed by the Sringi Brahman. And finally comes to the banks of Ganga. So 11 chapters on Parikshit Maharaj to answer the question, how Parikshit Maharaj came here and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And 4 chapters of Shukdev Goswami, how he came to this place. So this is the art of hearing. The first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam delineates the art of hearing. And the second canto begins with now Suta Goswami mentioning that Shukdev Goswami is going to answer Parikshit Maharaj's question. So second canto is also the art of hearing. The foundation cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam deal with hearing aspect. Nashta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. So first and second canto, they are the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna's beautiful transcendental body. And the first two canto is Krishna's lotus feet. So we can see that how the first two canto, which is Krishna's lotus feet, is primarily fixing attention on hearing and speaking. One party is asking, other party is speaking, and the first party is hearing. Shukdev Goswami also begins the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by glorifying Parikshit Maharaj's question. He mentions that these questions are very relevant. And then he mentions what one should hear and what one should not hear. The attached householder is busy in so many other nonsensical activities, but he has no time for hearing Krishna Katha. But Shrotavyadini Rajendra, one should be gearing upon hearing about Krishna consciousness. So while Shukdev Goswami is glorifying the Srimad Bhagavatam, glorifying the hearing process, glorifying the inquiry process of Parikshit Maharaj, Shukdev Goswami, understanding the pulse of audience, has begun the answer process by speaking about Ashtanga Yoga leading to devotional service. So when I was reading this particular text, I was reminded about many such personalities where they were not fully pure devotees, but they got a chance to hear and they became pure devotees. We have a classical example of Maitra Rishi, right? Now Maitra Rishi heard from Krishna directly, but Krishna was not speaking to Maitra, was speaking to Uddhava. So Krishna was speaking to Uddhava, Maitra was also sitting and hearing it. By hearing from Krishna, why Krishna did not speak to Maitra? Because Maitra was not fully pure devotee that time. He was a yoga mishra bhakta. So Krishna spoke to Uddhava, and while Krishna was speaking to Uddhava, Maitra Rishi also heard. But by hearing from Krishna, Maitra Rishi got purified. And this Maitra Rishi went to Haridwar and then became purified, and he spoke to whom? Vidura. Who is Vidura? Vidura is already Mahabhagavat, Mahajan. So a yoga mishra bhakta, by hearing katha, Bhagavat katha, from directly Lord, even though not fully qualified like Uddhava, becomes qualified and eventually becomes a pure devotee to speak Bhagavatam, come in the Srimad Bhagavatam. His name is mentioned as one of the speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he speaks to Vidura. So this is how we can see. There are so many examples in this Bhagavatam The great jnanis, ashtanga yogis or mishra bhaktas, they got connected, as mentioned here. They get relation of Lord Narayan. But one can rectify such conceptions by relation of Vishnu, either to Krishna Leela or Krishna Katha or Krishna's form. And such people become great devotees. The best example which we can quote in this thing is from the life of the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras, they were initially mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam as not pure, they were having jnani, they were jnanis. And in the Bhagavatam which mentions that how the four Kumaras went to Vaikuntha, and then there was a vad, an argument between four Kumaras and Jaya and Vijaya, who were not allowing them to go inside. But then, when Lord Narayan walks in there, and Tulsi Mishra, by just seeing the lotus feet of Lord Narayan with Tulsi, and the fragrance of Tulsi enters the nostrils of the four Kumaras, then they become pure devotees. So this is the wonderful process of Krishna consciousness, that Krishna consciousness, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, can attract Paramahamsas like Sukadeva Goswami, and Bhagavatam can also attract people who are not yet on the pure platform. And Bhagavatam can also attract people who are not having any connection with Krishna. That is the power of Bhagavatam. So the four Kumaras, they get attracted to Krishna's beautiful lotus feet and Tulsi and the fragrance and become pure devotees there. There is also another story mentioned of how four Kumaras become pure devotees. So there are different kalpas. From different kalpas, you will find different explanations. Like recently I was in Vrindavan, one devotee was mentioning that, Prabhu, you know, sometimes Krishna comes from Mathura to Gokul Mahavan. But sometimes Krishna may not come to Gokul Mahavan. He will go to Nandagaon directly. And that's why you find two places where Lord Shiva is sitting. One is Chintaharan Mahadev in Brahman Garden in Gokul. And one is Asheshwar Mahadev in Nandagaon. Story is same. The Lord Shiva came to see Lord Krishna, a small child, Mother Yashoda did not allow. So how can we have two stories in two different places, Kalpabhed? So Kalpabhed also has Lord, the four Kumaras attracted to Lord, and the story is different. Most of these stories come from the Nimbarka Sampradaya, and they mention a beautiful point of how the four Kumaras, they had a lot of query. They wanted to know something about the Absolute Truth, but they were not able to figure out by themselves as jnanis. So they approached their father Brahma, and they asked this question to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma, who is a very bona fide person, who is actually ashray giver, who is a sampradaya acharya, who has potency of answering all questions, but finds himself in a position where he cannot answer these questions of the four Kumaras. So what do a great devotee, when he is unable to answer any question, what does he do? He takes shelter of his ashray, Lord Narayan. So Lord Brahma, understanding that his sons, the four Kumaras, who are jnanis, have a chance now to become a devotees, because the questions are very relevant. So he prays, sits in meditation on Lord Narayan, asking, seeking help, that please come and enlighten us. I am not able to answer these questions. So Brahma sits in meditation, and Brahma's meditation is so powerful that Lord appears, and it's also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord appears as Hamsa Avatar, the swan incarnation. So Satyuga, it is mentioned Lord comes in white form. So sometimes Lord comes as swan, and sometimes Lord comes as Lord Kapila. So Lord came as swan incarnation. As the Lord descended as swan, he began to instruct the four Kumaras. So he was giving instructions in the form of Katha, Bhagavat. At the same time, by hearing Bhagavat, the four Kumaras got attracted to the lotus feet of swan incarnation. And on the lotus feet of the swan incarnation, there were Tulsi, Kinjalka, Mishra. And that fragrance of Tulsi on the lotus feet of swan incarnation entered into the nostrils of four Kumaras, and they became pure devotees. So this is the explanation given by from the Nimbarka Sampradaya, how their Sampradaya began from the four Kumaras, how they became they heard from Hamsa avatar. So we are dealing with the aspect of dhyana here in this series of verses. How an impersonalist, how an Ashtanga yogi should meditate, and through meditation reach the personal conception of the Lord. But meditation is not a strange thing in pure devotional service. It's a part of pure devotional service. A pure devotee, a person in pure devotional service, he is constantly meditating on Supreme Personality of Godhead, either in his form or meditating on the instructions of Krishna, how to execute those instructions. We find here that Ashtanga yogi, it is told here that he should meditate and eventually rise gradually. But the concept of meditation in Krishna consciousness is quicker, is a faster concept. In Ashtanga yoga, one has to develop this conception of dhyan, dharana, samadhi and finally come to the understanding of Lord as super soul, as having a form. But for a devotee in Krishna consciousness, his meditation is very quick. We are very fortunate that by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we don't have to sit in meditation for long hours and then see some light, as someone in the neighbor is doing nowadays. See something light and then finally red light, white light, blue light, all those lights come. And finally the light takes up and then you see Krishna. We don't have to do like that. One time when Prabhupada's preaching in the early days in ISKCON, one girl, she was coming regularly, said, "Swamiji, when I sometimes in the daytime I see some lights coming, red light, blue light, green light." So she saw that, she thought Prabhupada will be appreciating that she is seeing light in her spiritual meditation. Prabhupada said, "Keep chanting Hare Krishna, all the lights will disappear." So we are not working on any lights here. For Krishna consciousness, directly you come to temple and meditate on Krishna. You see a beautiful form of Krishna dressed and beautiful arati, and meditation is very quick. And those devotees who are adapted to this process of meditating on Krishna regularly, for them Krishna gets easily connected. See Brahmaji here. Brahmaji is in trouble. Brahmaji is in Satyug Loka. His four children are asking him a question. And it is not like Krishna is somewhere in the downland, just like maybe it may happen that we are in this Gaurnita hall and Gopinath is here. Now Brahmaji is not that Satyaloka and next room Krishna is sitting or Lord is sitting. He has to connect with Lord Narayan, bring him there. Lord Narayan is very busy. He is in different places wherever his devotees are. Brahmaji connects and brings Lord Narayan so quick. So the process of connecting through meditation with Krishna is more powerful in devotional service than any other process, because other process takes long time. Brahmaji is giving an example that how he connects with Krishna very easily through the process of pure devotional service. Just imagine if four Kumaras have come and they want to ask, they are asking a question, and Brahmaji sits in meditation for thousands of years. The four Kumaras would think, maybe next time we will not approach Brahmaji for a question. After 1,000 years, we get an answer. You know, Brahmaji connects and immediately the answer is there. Directly Krishna is coming, Lord Narayan is coming as Hamsa avatar and speaking. So quick process. Prabhupada said, Bhakti Yoga is the very quickest process. Actually, it's a quick process. So Brahmaji is such a beautiful example here, who connects with Krishna very quick through his meditation and helps the devotees connect with Krishna. As a founder acharya of our sampradaya, as a Mahajan, Brahmaji has very strong connection with Krishna on dint of his pure devotional service. So while I was reading this, I was just connecting with how Brahmaji also just not helped the four Kumaras. Brahmaji has helped so many Vaishnavas to connect with Krishna. Quick connection. Because of his fixed up in the pure devotional service platform. And then immediately my mind went to how, Now we are all gearing up on this Adhik Mass is there, and also soon the festival season is going to begin, Zulan Yatra, Balram Jayanti, Janmashtami. And generally what happens when we are around Janmashtami, start reading 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, beautiful narration of how Lord Krishna appeared, his beautiful kathas. I was just reading this beautiful narration of Lord Krishna's appearance in the 10th canto, and I saw this connection there, that Brahmaji also meditated that time. The story begins a unique way where Mother Earth She goes to Brahmaji to ask for help. Kumara has also gone to Brahmaji for help, but their help is in form of a query, jigyasa. But Prithvi, Mother Earth, is not having any jigyasa. She is in trouble, deep trouble. So she has been deep trouble, but why she goes to Brahma? Why doesn't she go directly to Lord Narayan? Or why not some other demigods, some other lords? Prithvi has strong connection with everyone. So our acharyas, Sridhar Swami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, give different angles to this understanding of why Prithvi, Mother Earth, went to Brahmaji. The first reason was Mother Earth wanted quick solution. She could not wait. She was in deep anxiety, very disturbed, agitated. And in such situation, she could not wait for a longer route of connection. She wanted fast connection. So she went to Brahmaji knowing well that Brahma is a direct son of Lord. Brahma has come from the navel of Lord, therefore he has direct connection, direct son of Krishna. So therefore she approached Brahmaji. Sridhar Swami mentions. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions, why does Mother Earth goes to Brahmaji? Because she remembers, previously when I was in trouble and I was in the water of Garbhodak Sagar, it was Brahmaji meditated and Lord Varadev came from his nostrils and I was saved. So this time I am in also same trouble, I should go to Brahmaji, he has quick solutions. So for this reason why Mother Earth preferred to go to Brahmaji. One of the Bhagavatam commentators also mentions another point, that Brahmaji was approached because Prithvi, Mother Earth, is wife of Lord Narayan, Bhuvarahadev. And Brahmaji is son of Lord Narayan. Right? Brahmaji was born without the help of Lakshmi Devi. But Brahmaji's mother is Lakshmi and also Bhudevi. So she feels, as a traditional approach to husband, that when the wife is in trouble and the son is grown up also, the wife would generally go to the first son to ask for a solution. If the son cannot help, then the son will approach the father, and through the father the help will come. So these are three aspects why Brahmaji was approached by Mother Dhara, Mother Earth. Now when Mother Earth went to Brahmaji, she was in lot of anxiety. It is mentioned, she was feeling the weight of great burden on Mother Earth. What was the great burden she was feeling? It is said that Bhuri Bharena. Bhar means load. And Bhuri means great load. She was overburdened. Not just burdened, she was overburdened. Not just overburdened, she was crying. Not just crying. Our Vaishnava Acharyas mentioned she was weeping. Not just weeping, she was wailing. That was the burden which Mother Earth was facing. Mother Earth is an example of tolerance, right? And that tolerant lady could not tolerate. That was the limit why Mother Earth wanted solution, therefore she approached Brahmaji. Bhuri Bharena. The bhar was very strong. Now, what was the bhar? It was not the bhar of the structures which is built up in this world, buildings or big palaces. No. The bhar which Mother Earth could not bear was of people living on Earth planet. And which people? People who were posing as kings, but they were demoniac in nature. In the Vishnu Puran, it is mentioned Mother Earth actually took names to Brahmaji that there are demoniac kings who were staying in nether planets. Prasatal, Patal, now they have taken birth on earth planet and they have become rulers of great kingdom. And she mentions the primary person in that was Kalanemi come as King Kamsa. And this King Kamsa has got the whole entourage, then mentions Putra, Trinava, Shaktasur, Aghasur, Bakasur, all the names she mentions. In the Vishnu Purana it is mentioned. Details she gives. And she mentions to Brahmaji, please help me to relieve my burden. And this burden is so powerful and she is so helpless and she is also scared in revealing her heart that Mother Earth disguised herself, did not come as Mother Earth, did not went as Mother Earth, but went as a cow. When will a person disguise to go to some other person? When he knows that he is in trouble, he could be, people are watching her, people are watching him. Therefore, she disguised as Mother Cow. She took the form of a cow and went to Brahmaji. So one reason which is mentioned why she took the form of cow was because cow, in the body of cow, the whole demigods are sitting. All the wonderful demigods, they have their position in the various parts, the body parts of cow. So when she is going, she is also referring, this is not just my problem. It is a problem of the whole universe. These demoniac kings are troubling not me only, but they are troubling all the range of demigods. So she is petitioning on the behalf of all the demigods. And therefore she disguises as Mother Earth, so that no one sees that Mother Earth has gone to Brahmaji. Now, what happens is Brahmaji is now watching and hearing his own mother in anxiety, crying, crying, weeping, wailing. Now, which son will like to hear or see her mother, his mother crying in front of him, right? It's a very difficult situation to deal with. So Brahmaji becomes now in anxiety. The anxiety of Mother Cow, Mother Earth has transferred to Brahmaji now. And Brahmaji thinks, what to do now? Because this situation which has come to me is beyond me. Just like Brahmaji thought that Sanat Kumar, the four Kumaras, their position, their questioning was beyond me. So Brahmaji decides to meditate. So Brahmaji meditated on Lord Narayan, on Hamsa Avatar came, and Brahmaji is now going to meditate. But Brahmaji thinks, I should meditate. I can meditate on Satya Loka. I can meditate anywhere, but I would rather go to the place where the presence of Lord Narayan is felt. Now one more aspect which is mentioned here is that Mother Earth, when she took the form of a cow, she went to meet Brahmaji. But where did she go to meet Brahmaji? So they said that she went to Mount Meru Parvat, where there is residence of Brahma. Now we all know that Brahmaji lives in Satya Loka. But Brahmaji also has residence in Mount Meru. Now why does Mother Earth does not go to Satya Loka, the original residence of Brahma, and why she goes to Meru? Because she knows that I have to deal with this situation very quickly. To go to Satya Loka and spend some time would become thousands of years here. And Acharyas give example of how when Raivataka Raja or Raivataka Muni took his daughter Revati with some ideas in his mind of who all in this earth planet could marry her daughter, his daughter. And he goes to Satya Loka, to Brahmaji. And Brahmaji takes some few minutes before he approaches and tells, ask Revata King why he has come here. And Revata Muni says that, please tell me who is the best match for my daughter in the earth planet. And Brahmaji says, I'm sorry, everyone whom you have in mind, they are no more there now. By the time you go to earth planet, thousands of years have passed away. Oh no. You go down, he went Satyuga. Satyuga was going on, he went there. He came back down in Dwapar Yuga. Dwapar Yuga, you go down, Balramji is there, get your daughter married there. So Acharyas mentioned Mother Earth knew, if I go to Satya Loka, what will happen? I may not come back in time. So therefore she approached another place where Brahmaji always comes. For any living entity to go Satya Loka may take time. For Brahmaji to come to Satya Loka here will not take time because he is very much accustomed to travelling like that. So she approaches the residence of Brahmaji in Meru Parvat. And the time taken is less and Brahmaji is also there. And then, like a mundane example, sometimes we come to know that we want to visit a doctor, right? And we come to know that doctor sits every day, but he sits in Borivali every day. But once in a week he comes and sits in a hospital near to Grand Road. And we watch, अरे दो दिन के बाद ही आने वाले हैं, so we wait and go to him, because that will very fast, that will very early also, everything will be available very close by. A similar concept, but in terms of the travel of planets, Mother Earth decided to go to Meru Parvat and approach Brahmaji. Now Brahmaji could pray from Meru Parvat for the help of Lord Narayan and Lord Vishnu. But Brahmaji knows that this problem is a very unique problem. My mother is involved. She is crying and there is a lot of emergency. So Brahmaji takes all the demigods and Mother Earth to the shore of Milk Ocean. Because he knows this is the place where the maintainer of the whole universe is staying. See, Lord Narayan is in all planets, especially Brahmaloka also is there, because Lord is worshipped by Brahmaji everywhere. But the maintainer of this universe is Shirodakshaya Vishnu. So he is the one who enters into each and every atom. And he is the one who enters into every body as Paramatma. So as the maintainer of that place, Shirodakshaya Vishnu is lying at the in the ocean of milk. And therefore Lord Brahma decides to go to Shiri Sagar, on the banks of Shir Sagar. Now Brahmaji could directly go to the place where Lord Narayan is lying down. He had access. But because he is going with so many devotees, he wants to access the Lord from the place where everyone can access. Right? So here you find that how Brahmaji is going to Shir Sagar ocean on the banks. And then along with all the demigods, Brahmaji offers Purusha Sukta prayers. Brahmaji could offer any prayers, but he is going to offer a prayer which is suitable for everyone in the audience to recite. And the demigods are very much accustomed to Purusha Sukta prayers. So Lord Brahma recites Purusha Sukta prayers with all the demigods. The whole Purusha Sukta prayer is over. Still there is no sign of Lord appearing and giving some advice. So then Brahmaji goes to one corner, sits down in meditation, and connects with Lord Narayan. And in that meditation, Lord Narayan speaks to Brahmaji. And then he speaks, he tells Brahmaji that this burdening, this overburdening of earth will be relieved by my coming. I will soon appear as the original Lord Krishna in the Yadu dynasty in Mathura. And you tell all the demigods to also expand and also take birth and to help in my mission. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentions that Lord appears for various reasons, right? We know in Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Dushkritam Dharma Samsthapanarthaya. Lord appears in various incarnations, for various reasons. But when Lord appeared as Krishna, the well-known reason among them was because Mother Earth was overburdened. A great devotee was feeling the burden of these demoniac kings. And that's why Lord Krishna, Lord Narayan told Lord Brahma that all the demigods should also be born and they should help. Now, our Vaishnava Acharya has mentioned, why did Lord Krishna, who is going to come himself, the same Lord Krishna is going to come himself, how come he is saying that demigods, you come as an expansion, not come yourself? Because he also knows if all demigods come down, the whole administrative affairs will be disturbed. So he wants them to all there and yet expand down in their expansion form and also present on the earth planet to help him, assist him in his pastimes. So there are so many things to discuss. We're lacking time here. But the whole gist we are trying to cover here was how the meditation aspect of impersonalist, the meditation aspect of Ashtanga yogi, and the meditation aspect of a pure devotee. The meditation aspect in other forms of yoga takes a long duration of time. It is very cumbersome. However, the meditation aspect for a pure devotee is very quick. He can connect to Krishna, and through that connection, he can receive the mercy of Krishna. And here we found the example of how Brahmaji connected first with Hamsavatar and relieved the doubts of the four Kumaras, and later Brahmaji relieved the burden of Mother Earth by connecting with Lord Narayan, and Lord Krishna appeared in the age of Dwapar Yuga. Hare Krishna. So, friend here, any questions or comments are welcome. हरे कृष्णा। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। Thank you.